The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of Natural Bridges Media or KSQD's staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Welcome to What a Week, KSQD's Listener's Digest of all the news from this last week that you really need to know. I'm Tony Russomano.
And I'm Eric Nelson, and have we got a show for you.
Now, you can't be well-informed unless you are informed well. And that's where What a Week comes in.
For the next hour, we're going to dive deep into what's been going on over the last 7 days, giving you a quick rundown of what's happening here in Santa Cruz and in the rest of the world.
And because sometimes you just want to get away from it all, we'll play you some music designed to soothe your soul and bring a smile to your face.
So turn up that radio, fire up that internet browser, and get ready for another edition of KSQD's
What a Week.
Welcome back indeed to the show that never ends, the ongoing show, and I have approximately 204 What a Weeks till the next election.
Oh boy, I can hardly wait. Golly.
I'm marking them in our spiritual cell here. I would be Eric Nelson.
And I'm Tony Russomano.
And joining us today is...
Christine Barrington.
Christine Barrington, welcome.
Thank you.
What
I'm
a
so
pleasure to have you here.
To be here on one of my very favorite shows at KSQD.
This is the blind faith of KSQD talk shows. We have all the superstars accepting me on the air at the same time. Well, Christine, you're here for a reason. We've been doing the post-election de-traumatizing operation. Last week, we didn't even do a What a Week last week. I spent 2 hours on the Firesign Theater because I couldn't actually face another let's talk about the assorted depredations, and I thought, you know, let's...
Firesign was a great break.
It was a great
wonderful
break.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to get back into it. And Christine, Tony and I have been, and I wouldn't say whining, but commiserating with each other about our post-election recovery. How have you been doing?
Oh, it's been a roller coaster for a lot of people who really care about this nation and its people. So I was numb, and then I've been resting and reflecting and letting my nervous system sort of take in this. And the feeling I have is I keep seeing this image of being in a kayak in a slot canyon and being like, we're going over this cliff and there's no stopping it. And so there's this kind of now this settling feeling of resolution of like, let's get our wits about us and let's go.
How much anxiety did you have before the election?
Far more than I have now.
Why is that?
Well, I think it was the anticipation of so many fears that I frankly have been thinking about my whole life, because my mother was born in Berlin in 1941, and she raised me on documentaries about fascism and everything that happened there. And I knew it could happen again, and I've been watching things kind of slip away for a long time.
How did the pre-election anxiety affect your own personal relationships, your own inner self? And did it build up gradually over time? Did you become aware of it, or was it like a frog in a pot of gradually, increasingly, you know, boiling water?
Well, Tony, I would say that compared to the average American, I'm an anomaly because I've been paying attention acutely for a long time.
You also
time.
Have the training.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I have the training. Well, first of all, we're going to be talking today about post-election trauma, and I have a great deal of training in trauma resolution. I got my master's in counseling psychology, and I ended up working in the jails here with Women in the Jails in an amazing program, and all of my clients were highly traumatized and highly addicted. And I saw what's possible when you offer human beings guidance, skills, and strategies and offer them a chance to get empowered and get their lives back. Amazing things happen. And I see what's been happening in our nation for a very long time, what I call civic learned helplessness. okay, where we're constantly being told this is going wrong and that's going wrong, but we're not given clear skills, clear strategy, and a supportive network to get ourselves engaged and empowered. So my anxiety's been growing because I could see what was happening and I was anticipating the sorrow and the suffering, and that hurts me. But now that we are going over this cliff, honestly, I'm like, I'm ready.
Well, we're going over the cliff. We're going over the cliff on, hate to be too graphic here, it's not on water. It's a river of toxic sewage, of toxic misinformation. I'm looking at X right now, which is basically now a neo-Nazi platform.
Don't do it, Eric.
You know, the information that we're being bombarded with and our fifth columnists in the mainstream media, the New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. It's been an ongoing theme of what a week is, and we say it every week, you can't be well-informed unless you're informed well, and it's getting more and more difficult to detach it. And part of the mission of this show, besides just witty banter, occasional songs, and whatever else, is try to contextualize all that information that's coming and know what to listen to, what not to listen to. You know, it's an ongoing thing, because this is, how do you deal with this? And this is an open question. We don't have the answers to it, but you just recognize what the problem is.
I was absolutely detached, you know, unlike you and others and our listeners. I was so far out of the mainstream. I was literally in the high Arctic. I was above the Arctic Circle for about a month and a half prior to the election. And as a result, I got very little news. I certainly wasn't, you know, watching MSNBC all the time. I didn't watch it at all. It was impossible. So when I came back, I was quite relaxed. I had a wonderful time. And I thought, well, this is nice. Now I'm ready to get into the election mode. And I realized that I had missed the anxiety run-up that you all experienced. And I came back and I saw so many fights. I saw arguments. I saw people angry at lifelong friends, at their spouses, because they had this repressed anger, repressed anxiety. They had no outlet for it. And it took me, it didn't take me very long at all, maybe 12 hours or a day, to realize, whoa, man, I'm glad I missed this, but I got it all at once.
Yeah, welcome to the fight now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It hit me
hard when I got back.
Well, again, what's going on now, and part of the way we can neutralize it is recognize what, quote, they are, that this deliberate effort on every front to throw us off balance. Every single one of Trump's, thank God, thank you, Hillary, for this word, deplorable cabinet selections. These aren't serious choices. These are just, hey, let's just throw this against the wall. This is going to piss off the libs. And the sad thing is libs get pissed off. And then just as you start to dispatch a Matt Gaetz, then Hegseth comes out. And then there's Tulsi. And then there's Elon Musk lurking around Thanksgiving. And then. And this is deliberate. Trump is I won't use the phrase evil genius, but he's an evil manipulator, and his instincts, honed by wrestling, honed by a lot of things that normal political analysts don't even imagine exists, are finely tuned. And chaos is he's an agent of chaos. And at least recognize the thing. And we've been trying to bring this idea of inoculating people against what's going to come, so we're not thrown off balance. And, you know, we'll be talking about some of the, you know, the realities of what we're dealing with, and try to orient, so maybe an orientation, a disorientation lecture, I think, is what we're talking about. Well, Christine, right off the bat, you know, just any off-the-cuff advice. Again, you, what have you done? Everyone, I think, has returned to things that brings them joy, you know, whether it's going for walks, cooking, listening to music, doing talk shows on KSQD to exercise the demons, so you have a feeling that you're doing something positive. Are you doing all of those things? Or is there anything
I'm
missing?
All of the above. So I have a great quote here, which is, good psychology is good social change. Authoritarian power is derived from fear of repression, isolation from each other, and exhaustion at the utter chaos. So right off the bat, what I'm going to say is the number one thing that people can do to meet this moment is to build skillfulness in being able to regulate their nervous system. So the skills that make us able to meet all our challenges in life are the skills that are going to help us meet this moment. As you just said, Eric, the surface goal it seems, of this administration, of many of the media outlets on the extreme far right, is to disturb our nervous system, to get us upset, to appeal to the most basic instincts in the human animal. And what that does is it causes us to leave the higher regions of our brain and to operate in the more instinctual regions of the brain. And that can lead to sort of short-term action and brilliance, but long-term idiocy.
And it's pretty easy to regain that sense of control. Mm-hmm. Yoga, mm-hmm. or slow breathing.
Mm, that's right.
Exactly right.
I have lots of resources to offer. And we don't have to do that today, but I'm planning on introducing a show that is going to be focused on all of this in detail. But you are right. Breathing, like, people can just go to Insight Timer. It's free. There's all kinds of breathing sessions that are offered. Deep breathing really brings the nervous system back online.
Yeah, some people unfortunately think, well, you have to get that anger out. There was a group of Democrats, I just saw a story yesterday, group of Democrats in the Midwest. They had a scream in. That is absolutely the wrong thing to do. That just encourages that animalistic feeling inside of you.
Yeah, Tony, you are absolutely right. So I'm going to, I think, couch everything I say through the lens of trauma resolution. And so what experts understand about dealing with trauma is you don't want people who have been traumatized trying to deal with it in a high beta state. So where we have the highest arousal, you're always trying to bring people down into a place that we call resourced, or where your nervous system is nourished. And so we get that by finding our sweet zone, the things that make us feel good. And if we do need to feel our anger, like I'll find a friend that can handle me when I am quote unquote spicy. That's the term my friends use. And I will vent for maybe 5 minutes and get it out, and then I am done. And then it's like, now let's engage my long list of resources. I have, the longer your list of personal resources, the more masterful and powerful you are at being the human being that you can be.
Well, let me talk about a resource that we talked about last week, and I'm going to continue to stay on it. And this gets back to if you can't be well informed, et cetera. And that's mm-hmm. Blue Sky, one mm-hmm. of the few things that's happened in mm-hmm. the last few weeks that is absolutely a positive development is the anti-Twitter. Blue Sky, which was set up open source, 20 people run it. They have a staff of 20 people who run this thing.
Mostly women.
Mm-hmm. And it's decentralized, and it works beautifully. And it's up to, I think now, 25 million people have flocked over to it. It's a fantastic information source. And it's a way, like the right wing has. Twitter now is a nutrient bath for crypto fascists. It's basically, Musk reaches 133 million followers now. So every insane thing he thinks about is forced into your feed, and it's making these people crazy. Blue Sky is quite the, depending on who you follow, and we'll get to that in a second, Blue Sky is a source of where all the smart people went. Hate to be an elitist, it's where all the smart people went. They also allow you to link to articles, which Twitter no longer allows you to do, nor does Facebook. It's much easier to link to other people's work. And as part of our public service on What a Week, if you have a Blue Sky account, get a Blue Sky account. If you have one, though, just search for WAWKSQD, and then you'll see us right there. And right at the top, our starter pack, which a starter pack on Blue Sky is, you can recommend people to follow, information sources. And we've curated over 100 information sources that is what we, if you like what we talk about on the radio, or you don't like it and you like to disagree, it's where a lot of What a Week's content comes from, because these people link to a lot of interesting things. So you have your own private news source.
It sounds simple, but Starter Pack truly is the best thing I've seen in technology in many years.
It depends what you put in, but what mm-hmm. we've put in is 100 and so links, WAWKSQD on Blue Sky. Now look, if you don't like the links, you just block people. You don't follow them anymore. But or you read through and you see who they read. But it's a way of surrounding yourself with an infrastructure of information that, well, at the very least, you think, wow, all these smart people are as freaked out as I am. There's something actually, if Paul Krugman from the New York Times is freaked out about something, actually, that doesn't depress me. It's like, oh, so I'm not crazy here. A Nobel Prize winning economics thinks the tariffs is an insane idea and is going to collapse in 3 months. That makes me feel good. Now, yeah, you can be like me and doom scroll all day, but it's nice to have a place to go. So check it out, folks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to chime in and say, yeah. What a gift. What a week. What a gift. Because I've been sort of like a mole, you know, underground, like trying to find really high quality source of reading because I only have so much time. And so I've been finding people on Substack and then trying to see like, well, who do they recommend? And I actually reached out to Eric and I was like, who do you recommend? And he's like, well, here it is. Well, this is a gift.
A couple places, yeah. Though. The Guardian, I would subscribe to The Guardian. The Guardian, mm-hmm. UK, BBC World. If you want to know what's going on world news, the BBC World feed is definitely worth going to. And you don't have to subscribe to, and I'll use the words of President 1.6%, and we'll talk about that in a moment, the New York Slimes. You don't have to subscribe to the New York Slimes. All you need to do is, for free, look at the front page. Read the front page of the New York Times. What are the headlines? How are the headlines placed? What do they think is important? What don't they think is important? And if you see headlines that are obviously soft peddling what the insanity that President 1.6 is doing, gives you a good indication. But monitoring it and doing what they, and I speak of they, people who put this guy in, they're not doing this. They're not entertaining other news sources. They're not considering. And that's one edge we have because I'm afraid well-informed is a very good thing right now, so as not to be ill-informed and jump to illogical and stupid conclusions.
And all politics being local, do not overlook our local news sources, which are terrific. One of them, in fact, won a Pulitzer Prize this year, Lookout Santa Cruz. So there's Santa Cruz Local. Good Times is doing really good reporting, and they also own the Pajaronian. They're also strong in Watsonville regional reporting. So yeah, there's several good local sources with good, talented, and professional writers and reporters.
Well, let's take we talked about music. Let's take one of the things of What a Week. Joan Armatrading, you know her, mm-hmm. artist from the has been around forever, has a brand new record, and it's a wonderful one. This is going to play a track from that, and it came out last week or in the last couple of weeks. I have a couple weeks to catch back up on because I played hooky last week with the Firesign Theater. You're listening to What a Week with Eric Nelson,
Tony Russomanno,
and Christine Barrington.
We'll be back just a few minutes. yes, we dive deep into all that whatever's been happening
into
in the last
our psyche.
2 weeks. Yes.
Perfect man,
Well, the sooner that someone else comes along, the better for all of us. Well, it's that time of the show where let's introduce our, one little spot says a thousand words.
Thrush, the technological hierarchy for the removal of undesirables and the subjugation of humanity.
The guy that needs some controlled breathing.
Yeah. Wow. Or learn how to modulate when he records things. It's funny though, we've been on Thrush for what? You know, it started sort of as a joke, but the technological hierarchy for the removal of undesirables and the subjugation of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It started as a joke.
Be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm. Or as they call it, the Broligarchs, or maybe my favorite.
It's a great one.
The Nerd Reich. So
we were talking
about, speaking of the Nerd Reich, so Blue Sky, one of the things I love on Blue Sky, and it migrated, some knucklehead has a flight tracker that has tapped into the FAA database, and they have the call letters and serial numbers of Musk and Zuckerberg's private jets. So when they go places, they know in real time where they're going. This drove Musk insane, more insane, and he banned them from Twitter and tried to shut them down and couldn't do it. But thanks to this, so the headline was in the lamestream media, hey there, Sarah Palin, that Zuckerberg bent the knee to Trump last week, which he did. But what they didn't report is this. He flew from his private island, he owns half of Kauai right now. We've talked about it, Tony, with the bunkers and they peasant hunt and they have the minefields.
Peasant hunt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's the most dangerous game, whatever the Uber billionaires do out there in Kauai. He flies from Kauai to West Palm Beach, a 10-hour flight. Mm-hmm. He bends the knee to Trump at dinner. He then gets back on the plane and flies back another 10-hour flight to Kauai. So it was important enough for him to do 20 hours on his Gulfstream G650. How urgent he saw the mission to bend the knee. Mm-hmm. And very oddly, for conspiracists out there, yesterday he flew from Kauai to Monterey.
Well, he did. He may still have a house in Santa Cruz on East Cliff. And, you know, he was a fixture out on East Cliff Drive. You know, people would see him driving around all the time. I don't know if maybe he still has it. Who knows?
And Musk posted, this is what he's up to, besides being the guest who will not leave Mar-a-Lago. And this is, again, that devout family man with 12 kids who's building a compound for his cult-like family in the suburbs of Austin. He spent Thanksgiving with the Trump sitting at the table. Eating indigestible food, and actually there's footage of him dancing to YMCA.
So yeah, I saw that footage, and you know, it looked like instead of Musk spending Thanksgiving with Trump, it looked like Trump was spending Thanksgiving with Musk. Musk looked like he was in charge of that whole shindig.
Watch this dynamic.
Oh, but you know, on the subject of Musk and transportation, you know who I feel sorry for?
Who?
Sort of. Anybody that owns a Tesla.
We told you, folks, for the last two, I told you so in what a week. For a year, I said, don't buy a new one. Do not support an out fascist. Just don't do it. It's like buying a Volkswagen in 1944. Probably not a good idea.
But
anyway.
Well, there are people now who have their regrets. And there's a guy who was selling bumper stickers that express that regret for Tesla owners. And he's doing gangbusters business. So he's got a couple of...
What are the slogans? I got to know.
Okay, here's one slogan is anti-Elon Tesla Club. That's one of the stickers. You can put that on your Tesla, right? So people know, okay, yes, he's a good guy. Or another one is, I bought this before Elon went crazy. And there's also there's a picture of Musk in clown makeup with the words space clown. So these are things that, you know, to help you get over of owning a Tesla.
I see this story. He's in a Hawaii-based aquarium worker who sells other stickers, novelty stickers. His quote is, I'd be happy for Musk to disappear from public discourse and just be another rich guy. If I never sell another Elon sticker, that's fine with me. I'd rather him just be gone for the country's sake so I can go back to make stickers of fish.
There's a guy with a plan.
Well, Musk, this is what he posted last week to his 133 million followers. Alexander Vindman, is that how you pronounce it, Tony?
Yes, correct.
Vindman, who stood up and put everything at risk to assist in the impeachment, but impeachment won, I think, of there's been three of them, but impeachment one, and peed off a lot of neo-Nazis. He must posted, Vindman is on the payroll of Ukrainian oligarchs and has committed treason against the United States, for which he will pay the appropriate penalty. Which is death. So Musk has posted on Twitter to 133 million people that Vindman will pay the appropriate penalty, i.e. Musk is sentencing Vindman to death. And this is the guy who built your Tesla, folks.
And so, that one post viewed more than 6 million times and reposted about 14,000 times as of last night.
And the worst, growing. And we were gloating briefly, very briefly, about The Onion buying Alex Jones's InfoWars. Well, guess who's funding throwing the wrench in that? Musk has stepped in, and according to Alex Jones, Elon Musk, hands down, is a hero because he's attempting to stop the sale. He's attempting to put Alex Jones back in business. So again, if you go on X, I have to admit, you know, to me, when I see it, any Tesla now, not just the Cybertruck, I have the same sort of my creepy crawly sensation. And again, it's the people who bought them thinking, not realizing, no one knew maybe 3 years ago who Musk was, but for the last 3 years, it's been pretty obvious where this guy was
going. Hey, full disclosure, Eric, what was it, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago, you and I had a private tour of the Tesla factory.
Yes, we did.
Yes, it was a fundraiser for the Diversity Center, and I bought it.
Yeah, and I bought it too. I wanted to get one of those roadsters, if I remember.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever else, and well,
it's like getting an inside tour of the Death Star.
Yeah, exactly.
It was fun, I have to say.
I bet it was.
Man, those robots, they had choreographed robots that were doing motions just for the sake of you know, entertaining people there, that you know, two or three people that would be wandering by, there'd be this robotic thing that was assembling cars, and all of a sudden it would do a breakdance. It'd say, what's happening? Is it out of control? No, we just program it to do that.
Amazing.
Well, to get on to what's going on, so we're this is a front page of the New York Times a couple days ago, and this is my thought on this headline, which was something to the effect of, Trump seems to have reneged on his promise not to put Project 2025 in. The New York Times says,
"Oh,
shocking.
I'm shocked."
Well, we're both shocked in harmony.
Surprise!
Oh yeah, there's a chief of staff.
Russell Voigt, who's a fine piece of work, is now going to head up the Office of Management and Budget. He was one of the authors of Project 2025. And Tony, do you have his quote here that I've got?
Yeah.
What he wrote before he was just given this important job overseeing independent federal agencies.
All right, now, so just gird yourself for this one. Quote, "We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. When they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma."
Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah. So yeah.
Is that the work of a sick mind?
Yeah. A very, very disturbed human being.
But again,
we were talking about it this morning, and my husband was like, "What kind of person does that?"
Well, the guy who just Trump just appointed. But the fun part is the New York Times. Whoa, he's reneged on his promise. He said he wasn't going to do that. I'm just so surprised. So let's talk about some of the other fine members. Trey Crowder is a great comic. He's the liberal redneck, and he's actually coming to Santa Cruz Thursday.
Oh.
We played his bits on. He's at the Rio Thursday night. And KSQD, the station that you're listening to right now, and that would be KSQT Bruindale, have a couple of extra tickets to that, which will be disposed of next week. So just listen closely. Okay. But he starts off here. He was going over. He records videos behind the wheel of his car. And he was talking about Trump's cabinet picks. So he started off, I think, with RFK Jr. So let's listen to his quick distillation of this.
Y'all remember when Michelle Obama had the audacity to say that maybe school children should eat marginally fewer cheeseburgers and all of our country's graviest citizens lost their minds over it? Yeah, well, now all those same people are convinced a brain-wormed carcass collector is going to make America healthy again. How about that? The border czar is a guy named Tom Homan, which, come on, that's clearly a made-up name for a robot posing as a man, which makes sense because human empathy would really complicate the plans they have for the immigrants. But still, his name is Homan? Okay. Who are his undersecretaries? Yasama Hamasapian and Guy Persenman? Give me a break. Vivek and Musk were given the made-up job of improving the government by vaporizing 75% of it, because that's totally how things actually work in the real world all the time. And what's next? They're gonna put Alex Jones and Roseanne in charge of the U.S. Department of Staying Calm and Making Sense? Like, it's bad. It's hard to be optimistic, you know? All I can really come up with right now is just the hope that maybe the unstoppable force that is their short-sighted and rage-fueled scheming is about to slam headfirst into the immovable object that is their fundamental dysfunction and incompetence.
We can hope for incompetence. Let's not count on it, though.
Yes.
And another great quote, Newt Gingrich, remember him? Maybe one of the guys who invented this. This is 1996 when he issued that note to all Republicans saying, we will use words like demons and evil and language that demonize Democrats. This will be our routine now. We're now going to polarize everybody. Mm-hmm. And having listened to Rush Limbaugh, another one who you can definitely aided and abetted in this. But Nudie was back on Fox News with a show moderated by Kellyanne Conway. So she's actually the moderator. She's the host of the show with Nudie. So this is Nudie's opinion. This is how, remember, he fancies himself as an historian and a world historical figure. That was his act. So this is the world historical historian looking at President 1.6.
Well, Kellyanne, first of all, I think the only way you can begin to understand this is to take Trump totally outside of normal American politics and recognize that he's a mythic figure. He's like some of the people who come out of the Viking sagas. I mean, here's
like some of the people who come out of the Viking sagas wielding an axe and going after all the women. He's a mythical world historical figure. So that's how they're framing Trump these days. Where to go, where to begin, right?
Well, he's certainly a trickster, and I think that matches. He is very archetypally disturbing, right? And we'll get into the potential silver lining of that. But
well, it comes from wrestling. The Guardian, we recommend, Josie Reisman did a piece that was focused. This is a woman who wrote a book about wrestling, the rise of wrestling and the McMahons. And Linda McMahon, who's now been put in charge of education, is one of Trump's cabinet of deplorables. And someone who, as she documented in her biography of her husband, Linda and Vince McMahon have presented a united front at all times, even amid accusations of sexual assault. She was almost certainly aware of a massive pedophile ring that ran within the McMahon's Wrestling Federation, as it was known from the 70s to the early 90s. So, and I want to, before I leave Musk behind, he has referred to Blue Sky as pedo sky, and the latest conspiracy theory is the butterfly, the blue sky butterfly, is actually code for child abuse. The blue butterfly is some sort of code. So they're, by the way, going there, and just wait till he goes to his pet judge in Texas to try to find some reason to shut Blue Sky. Just saying, watch what they're doing. But Trump comes out, has been marinated in that world of wrestling and the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship too. Dana White, who runs that, billionaire Dana White, spoke at that horrific rally in Madison Square Garden. Hulk Hogan was there. That's what Trump does, is it's this sort of, you know, kayfabe, or what they say, neo-kayfabe. Kayfabe was it's all rigged and everybody knows it. Neo-kayfabe is it's all rigged, yet they allow certain moments of reality to intrude. So witness, you know, they try to humanize it with actual real stuff, but it's still all fake. And that's what Trump is doing right now, to talk about this language of wrestling. Where to begin, what to do. Why don't we play one more song, and then we're going to come back and we'll talk about reasons to be cheerful. Christine, I think you could use some reasons to be cheerful.
And I have a few to offer.
Oh, excellent. So we'll play a song. This is the Coward Brothers. And the Coward Brothers, you might ask, who are they? That would be Elvis Costello and T-Bone Burnett. This album just came out. Beautiful song. And this is an interesting duet. They're the new Everly Brothers.
Nice.
used to know a girl, maybe it was you. Faces change and names do too. And none of these things I've said are true. She said the sun comes up in the dead of night, and the roof is rubber, and it won't stay tight. And the floor is the deck of a ship on the sea, and you can't be sure of the shore.
Pretty piece of music. The Coward Brothers. They got together back in the mid-80s and stayed pals and liked playing music together. And that's from the new album. Well, it's called The Coward Brothers. Go figure. This is What a Week. I'd be Eric Nelson.
And I'm Tony Russomano.
And I'm Christine Barrington.
Oh, well, let's go now to what I think we really need now, and that's the reasons to be cheerful. And, well, bottom line reason, I'll go first here, and this is counteracting it. This idea, again, reading the New York Times front page, casually glancing at it, or the Washington Post, one would get the idea that Trump is this unstoppable force, this force who enables Mark Zuckerberg to do a 20-hour round-trip flight just to have a mediocre meal at Mar-a-Lago, or Trudeau, who came down to try to talk him off the ledge on the tariffs. Now, I guarantee you, Melania Trump has not been missing in action. I bet she came to that dinner. If you've ever seen photographs of her around hunky Justin Trudeau, I'm sure she's sizing him up as soon as Trump keels over on that golf course. But that is neither here nor there. But this idea that Trump has a mandate, I don't think so. Let's just get some statistics here. He's now under 50% of the vote, so he's dipped down now to less 49%. This is a margin 44th out of 51 elections since 1824. So again, there's been 51 elections since 1824. He's ranked 44th in popular vote margin. So yeah, huge mandate. 1.6 margin. It is electoral college margin, 43 among 60 presidential elections. So where's our 49%? How are we acting? I understand why they're acting like it's a mandate and they're just going to ram it through. But Christine, this comes back to what you were talking about of them throwing us off balance.
Right.
We are not marginalized. We actually win. We, you know, a lot, the people who voted decisively for Harris are in the most populated states, are the people with the education, with the high-paying jobs, or people who are educated. And there's 49% of the population who voted are on that side.
Right.
Yet we're acting like Trump, well, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And, oh, my God, he's got a mandate now. Is he saying to do it? No, actually, you don't. There is no mandate.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because Trump is the unholy love child of Roy Cohen and Joseph Goebbels. You know, they just keep repeating the lie over and over
again.
But
it takes
people
to believe it. But then what do we counter that with? If someone's repeating a lie, do we just say, well, you know, I'm going to pull out another historical reference here that back in 1934, Nazi party, blah, 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 blah. Or you just say, hey, shut the F up. You didn't get a mandate. You don't speak for me. We're going to do everything in our conceivable power to block every single reprehensible thing you do or go down trying. And just who the hell do you think you are? I have not heard that being articulated in any way, shape, or form by anybody in the Democratic Party except maybe AOC, who's certainly stepped up to it. But Nancy Pelosi, crickets. Biden, yeah, I'll show up for the photo op. Oh, Jill Biden stood up by Melania Trump because I guess she was doing her makeup thinking she was going to meet Justin Trudeau. You know, where is the Democrat saying, you know, God bless Harris and she deserves a break? She should be setting up a government in exile. Do you remember World War II? We're throwing World
That's
War
right.
II references.
That's right.
The French rolled over pretty quickly in June of 1940. De Gaulle goes to England and says, I'm not acknowledging this. The Vichy government does not stand for France. We're setting up the government in exile. I, De Gaulle, represent France, and I refuse to acknowledge the existence or authority of this government. And guess what? 4 years later, he comes back.
That's right.
Where's our De Gaulle?
We have to be De Gaulle. We cannot wait for our leaders in the Democratic Party to fulfill that great desire of strong leadership. The people, those of us who care, and this is a brilliant idea. You know, unfortunately, Project 2025 can set a model. We need to come up with, yes, our government in exile, with clear descriptions of, like, this is what we want a government to accomplish. This is how we're going to do it. Because the majority of Americans were for the policies that Kamala Harris put forward, right? And we all heard that story, right? If they weren't told who was putting those policies forward, the majority of people were like, that I am for. The vast majority, well, the majority of Americans are incredibly decent, want simple things, but we do need to set up a government in exile. And that's a very, very powerful thing to do. And the question is how do we do it?
And who's our shadow cabinet? They've got RFK Jr., the brain-wormed, carcass-eating ass clown. So we should have our shadow cabinet. Who's our alternative to that?
It's a beautiful idea.
And
a great
every
project.
Time he issues a statement, we just set up our government in exile. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, you know, we can do it too. We don't have Fox News. We don't have Twitter, but we have Blue Sky. We have outlets. We have communication networks. What we don't have are bodies or people who have a firm belief in what they're doing. And frankly, I know, Tony, you probably would disagree with me. We have a Democratic Party that is still kind of cowering and still pointing fingers at who said what to Harris and, oh, she did this blunder here, and if only she'd done this or had more PowerPoint demonstrations or spent more time here in X and Y. That's not where we need to be right now, folks. There are bigger fish to fry here. And right now, this reality they're shoving down our throats or trying to of a mandate, or Trump is somehow this invincible, godlike, all-seeing 5D chess genius. He's not. He is everything but that. He's a rapidly deteriorating guy who has no moves left other than the moves he keeps doing. He surrounded himself with some of the most out there, uneducated, despicable Fox News wannabe people who are giving him constant bad advice in a room or a gold-plated dining area where someone like Elon Musk is seen as a genius. I repeat, Elon Musk, super genius? Really, folks? Really?
Well, I think, you know, this idea of creating a vision, when something is put forward that has a lot of life in it and is really exciting and interesting. And what was that comedian you played, Trey?
Trey Crowder.
Yeah, he should be in there. He's brilliant. But when you start putting together a vision that has real life on it and word starts getting out, people will come to drink at that fountain. And I don't know how it can be done, but it's the right idea.
But it's being done. And that's the thing.
And we need to lift up and highlight who is doing
well,
it.
Well, we collectively, again, everyone
right.
does what they can do. And that's what this radio station is built to do in our own little way, KSQD. You know, Christine, you are on Talk of the Bay. You work your expertise out. You encourage discourse when you do shows. It's processed through your filter and your knowledge and broadcast to people who may listen or not listen or agree or not disagree, but you're at least putting it out there. And as a way of, we talked about what are you doing personally for trauma management, I would think working at this fine radio station is probably.
Well, absolutely, because the human superpower is our capacity to engage socially, and it's very, very important. You know, this is the silver lining, like what to be cheerful about. There's an idea, it's called post-traumatic growth. We are being hit hard by some really destructive forces. And, you know, even we also know, like, when a community gets hit with a hurricane or a tornado, something that really devastates the infrastructure, it often gets built back better. we are on the verge of being devastated, but in all crisis, there is incredible opportunity. And reaching out to one another, I suggest people creating pods, you know, like get some of your friends together and talk about how do we want to engage in what's going on. And they we should let people know, look to the station. There are going to be more and more resources being offered here.
Pick one thing. Pick one thing and focus on that. It's yes. like it's like getting a new gadget and it comes with an 800-page instruction book and you're overwhelmed yes. by the things that you need to do and just you open a page at random, you know, mm-hmm. 462, and then you're lost forever. Start on page one. Turn every page.
And remember, yes. though, for the future, let's, you know, we like to think, we called Musk, we called so many facets of this election on what a week. Trump's on a, excuse me, President 1.6 is on a collision with reality here. You know, the future is not waiting.
Yes.
We know what's going to happen next summer. The climate is not, Mother Nature doesn't care that he has a mandate. And there's going to be things that he's beyond controlling, and he won't be able to control it. The bills come due. You know, the way I look at it is that we're the atonement generation. You know, part of what this is a backlash is this last 10 or so years is America atoning for a lot of sins, America atoning for the legacy of racism, the legacy, people looked hard at Reconstruction, you know, what happened after the Civil War when rather than keeping the South down, we let them build it all back up and enslave,
the way they wanted
psychically
to.
Enslave mm-hmm. everyone in the South for way too many years. Mm-hmm. There was rampant sexism, you know, oh, it was so cute, Hollywood, the casting couch, it used to be a joke. And then it became a reality. Mm-hmm. So many things that people took for granted were stripped away. And it was our generation had to deal with it. The environment, it all came down. 120-degree heat waves for months on end in Las Vegas and Phoenix. That can't be stopped. They're not turning that back. Category 6 hurricane hitting Mar-a-Lago. Come on down, folks. Another Katrina. This is going to happen, and mm-hmm. the future is on our side. We're the reality party. Forget Democrats, forget conservatives, and certainly let's forget Republicans. I'm a proud member of the reality party. It's acknowledging there's a reality, confronting it, figuring out the best way to get through with it, and acknowledging it. And they can't do that. Their entire infrastructure is based on lies, deceptions, nutrient bath of false information on Fox News and now Twitter. And we have that edge, and it's tough to grapple with that reality and to say, oh my God, the climate is going to get worse, or we can't undo 200 and 400 years of systemic racism overnight, but it's not going to go away. You know, we can't, these things aren't just going to be easily solved, mm-hmm. or, and they're certainly not going to be solved. Who said it? We're not going back. Well, she was right on that point.
Yeah, I'm with science, by the way. And
science,
yes,
what is that?
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah. Well, National Weather Service is telling us about the effect next summer of La Nina, which we're heading towards. And I was looking at this just last night. The long range forecast for next summer is much hotter than usual in the West, and much drier than usual. Much drier
and
than
so
usual.
And so, what happens when they have 120-degree heat that goes on for 2 weeks and the power grid drops in Phoenix? We're talking 5,000 to 10,000 people dying mm-hmm. in 3 weeks. How's Trump going to deal with that? And you know what? There's no, well, it was the Democrats' fault. I mean, the problem is it won't be, you know, it won't be, in, there won't be a solution he can bring, but he'll flail and the bill's going to come due. And the sooner we were talking on What a Week about the Climate Defense Agency, which we should have set up a big triple-letter Democratic agency totally involved spending kabillions on a climate infrastructure, cooling centers in Phoenix that were solar-powered, hurricane warning things, mm-hmm. all of this infrastructure, which I think if Harris had thought of that 3 months earlier, might have been something that she could have run on. But unfortunately, she doesn't listen to What a Week. But you know, I've been harping on this, but just watch it, folks. Tony, you're right. Here it comes. And what are they going to do about it? Well, why don't we play a little uplifting music here? This song is some eerily appropriate here. It's called New Landlord.
Never close. show. He slapped his cards down on the table, said, boys, I got me the winning hand. But the sight that made old T-Jim tremble was the king that took his land. Mr. Nation, Big Pete bet his whole life savings as the race was drawing near. A shot was fired, the gates flew open, the year street dragged before his eyes. Too bad they was riding on the saddle from a moment of ill advice. Destination New Landlord, I heard you knocking upon my door. New landlord, I got plenty of room down on the floor. Other names in other places, different rules, but it's all the same. 'Cause if that bug the scar will bear you shame. I tell you something, you know you're in trouble if you wake up one morning in the days. And as you peer into the mirror, the face leaning over says, Mr. Nature, new landlord, I heard you knocking upon my door. Mr. Nature, new
Sonny Landreth. That's an oldie but a goodie, but somehow seemed appropriate. So we need some good news, Tony.
You know, I got
is there anything the government
Eric?
Is doing good?
Yeah. Okay. Here's a question for you. What is it that looks like a duck and is as ugly as a duck?
A duck?
A mail truck. A mail truck. The new generation of U.S. mail postal carrier trucks is coming soon to a delivery route near you. 50,000 of these trucks are on order. 75% of them are electric. And the truck is ugly by design. In fact, somebody said it looks like a robot beluga whale built by the East German government. And the from what we can tell so far, the postal carriers love it because it's really low slung, so the packages are close to the ground. It is air conditioned.
A big, big
boy. I'll talk to a UPS driver
heater
about
too,
air conditioning
for those folks up in Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, and it's the front of it is where it gets its looks like a duck thing. This giant window pane that lets the driver see clear to the ground in front of them. So it's it's
I want one now.
I mean, yeah. This is like this is what the Cybertruck should have been. It's pretty much as ugly as a Cybertruck, but the drivers love it. It does the job, and they're on the way.
Well,
When you hit the horn, does it quack like a duck?
I hope so. I really do. I had a car in Hawaii once that when you hit the horn, it was a chicken clucking. I don't know. Yeah. It's like what, running around.
Well, Christine, we brought you on for so many reasons, but one is because we want your sunny disposition, because I tend to be a little dyspeptic, I think if I'm pronouncing that word right. Leave us with something optimistic. Leave us with inject some good optimism into the airwaves here, if you will.
Absolutely. Once I came out of my shock and depression, I'm a very intuitive person, and I feel things very deeply, and from that comes a lot of insight and intelligence, and it really began to dawn on me that America is not post-World War I Germany. Okay, we are not Russia. We are not Hungary. We have a tradition. People are used to being free in this country. We have a government that was founded on an amazing philosophy. And we are a very complex, diverse, and rich country. And you just can't move us in one direction. And so what I'm counting on is that there are so many different moving parts, so many aspects to the institutions involved, that if we, the people, start really getting organized and doing a lot of things that you, Eric and Tony, are talking about, like resist and persist, that these things that are underlying in our nation are going to hold while the incompetence, right, and short-sightedness of the people in charge right now do their thing, and that in the wake of the destruction, which they are going to wreak, we're going to have an opportunity to rise with something new if we create, right, these shadow cabinets, shadow governments. If we're visioning and thinking into this, there are amazing things that can come in the wake of this administration.
And there's a lot of good news out there, a lot of good news. As the late Scoop Nisker said, if you don't like the news, go out and make some of your own. Yes. In fact, a great story that I wanted to get to this week, we just don't have time for it, but I'm just going to read the headline, "Whales Are Wearing Salmon Hats." Again, that's it. That's all I'm saying about it. Maybe if you're good boys and girls, we'll tell you the story next week.
Well, this has been, let me finish off there with just that thought where the future is on our side. I mean, I think I can. If we come up with a slogan right now, I'm going to go with that one. The future is on our side. We are the reality party. We confront the future. We look at it. We deal with it. We process it. It may take a while. You know, that spinning apple processing rainbow ball, which we're all still going through. But at least we're trying. And the opposition aren't even trying. They're just going back to the old tropes, the traditional, the go-to places, racism, cruelty, stupidity, cupidity, avarice. Let's just tick off the seven deadly sins, which President 1.6 perfectly embodies. You got to admit, if you had to create a walking ambulatory edition of the seven deadly sins, you could conjure up that waddling bag of flesh, President 1.6. Am I being too negative here? I don't know about that.
Right. Truth is the ultimate defense.
Yes. Right. You're listening to KSQD Santa Cruz, KSQT Prunedale. I would be Eric Nelson.
And I'm Tony Russomano.
I'm Christine Barrington.
And Christine, we're going to pretty much insist that you come back regularly on What a Week. You're a voice we most appreciate. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
In just a few seconds, it's going to be time for the Grateful Dead Zone. Speaking of our putting out good vibes and good music into the community. So just hang tight. We're coming up in a second.